We are in the first week of Advent.
Hallelujah.
Praise God for that. It's early this year. We lit the candle this morning. It is the candle of hope, hope of the prophets. And as the first Sunday of Advent, we're going to look at the prophets, mostly of the prophet of Isaiah. Now, there are many prophecies written in Scripture, and I shared with that there was approximately 364, 5, 7, whatever it was, about the coming Messiah, and that all of them were fulfilled when Jesus came. Think about the prophecies. The first one given was actually given in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. That's the first prophecy given about that. But I want to focus on Isaiah's prophets, and one of the first given in Isaiah is verse 7:14. If you'd put that up for me, please, Annette. Oh, you don't have it? Okay, that's fine, verse 7:14 in Isaiah, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, God gave this sign. It was interesting how this comes about. God gave this sign to the king Ahaz. And he was not a very good king at all. In fact, Scripture says he was a very evil king. But God gave him this prophecy given by, or God gave it to Isaiah, excuse me. Understand that the king wanted nothing to do with God at this time. He didn't want anything to do with God. But God is going to give this king a sign that was going to be supernatural. Very supernatural in this aspect. What is interesting is the sign would not be given for King Ahaz's benefit, but for the benefit of the house of David. The virgin would bear a son. The virgin would bear a son. And his name would be Emmanuel. The word Emmanuel means God with us. The thing that the king here, he was thinking that his virgin wife would bear a son, which would be common for most everybody would be thinking that. We understand now that this is the fulfillment was when Jesus Christ was born. As we look at this prophecy, and I want us to understand, the child is being sent by God to earth was a sign, a gift for the people. This was a gift for the people. And I'll say it again, because a lot of times we can overlook what Scripture says here. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and she called his name Emmanuel. The people were to pay attention to this prophecy given. It was given to the king, so it was given to all. You're to pay attention to this event. People were to focus on this event because the child would be born of a virgin. It is the same today. People are to pay attention to that event. This child was to be born of a virgin. Because the child would be born of that virgin, it says the Holy Spirit would come upon her and the power of the Most High would overshadow her. Put up for me Luke 1:35, please. And the angel answered her, as he's talking to Mary, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Folks, understand this. The virgin birth is extremely critical for Christianity. It is one of the most critical parts that we understand, the virgin birth. Because if you think about this, this child would not come about naturally. When a husband and a wife get together and they have normal relations and a child is born, you have the husband and the wife. Both are sinful men. The child is born with that sinful nature. If I were to go to the cross and say I'm going to die for you, it would mean nothing because I'm a sinful man. But here, this child, Jesus Christ, he did not have the sinful nature. He was God in the flesh. He is God. And he could then for die for the sins of man. He could then for destroy the one who held the power of death, because he had never committed sin. And we know this as we read through the scriptures. The only way that God would accept us is if his son would die. He could die for our sins. I can't die for your sins. You can't die for mine. So the virgin birth had to be critical. And we look and we're going to see that Isaiah here gives us more information about this child coming in his prophecies. He gives us this information that this child's going to be sent from God. So I'm going to read chapter 9, verses 2 through 7 here. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, of them the light has shone. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of this burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. So Isaiah continued in the prophecy given to him by God. Now, what we have to understand is we got to go back in time and look at what's going on when this prophecy is given. The people that it talks about and it opens up, it says the people who walk in darkness. Yeah, well, the nation was facing tremendous devastation. The nation of Israel was. From the Assyrians. And God would allow this because the people had been doing evil. When the people do evil, and they no longer want God, God lifts his hand of protection, allows things to happen. If you want to see Israel current, just look at the United States, most blessed nation in the history of this world, and how we've turned from God, and the hand, 9/11. Look at the chaos that's going on. All these things are God is, okay, I'm lifting my hand of protection from you. But God is telling them, God's telling his nation, hey, there is a great light coming. Look how he words it. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. The hope of a bright and glorious future. So they're saying, hey, this is coming. This child is coming to you. The hope is in Jesus Christ. It's the same today. Jesus, I'll remind us, Jesus Christ said, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. He gives us signs and things that are going to be occurring. They're occurring right now, what's happening. Big time. The time of Jesus Christ coming back is getting rapidly short, where he comes back and gets his church. And it's not a specific church. It is the body of believers. Jesus Christ is that light that was prophesied here. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. Put it for me, John 8:12 for me, please. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of light. When you walk with Jesus Christ, you're walking in the light of Christ. Without Christ, you are in darkness. You can say, no, I'm not. I'm out in the sun. No, you're walking in darkness. Now, what's interesting about this prophecy by Isaiah? This was given right at, really close, 700 years before Christ came. 700 years. And Christ came. Jesus said, I'm coming back. That's been over 2,000 years now. Folks, it's getting close. It is getting close. Jesus Christ gives light to all who are held in bondage of darkness and death. We have to understand that. Bondage of darkness and death. Now, darkness in Scripture is a sign of evil or sin when it talks about darkness. And man walks in darkness if you're not walking with Jesus Christ. Whether you believe it or not, you are walking in darkness without Christ. Now, believers, with Christ as our Savior, we walk in the light of Christ. He is going to be our light. Think about this, death. As Christ is your Savior, we have conquered death. Jesus Christ conquered death. Do you realize as a believer, they actually say it's an atomic second. You take your last breath, boom, instant you are with the Lord. That quick. You know, and take yourself, how often do you breathe? It's faster than that. You're with the Lord. You take your last breath. We've conquered death because of Jesus Christ. Well, here God's saying, hey, you're in darkness. A great light is coming. He's telling them about this. That's why I say, folks, we're so blessed to be on this side of the cross. Then he says, you have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest. They're glad when you divide the spoil. Here's the hope of joy. The hope of joy. The Messiah would increase the body of believers. Jesus has been increasing the number of believers every day. People are getting saved every day. All over the world, where Christ was never preached before, people are going and doing that. Joy. This verse here is the promise of that great joy. That joy is in Jesus Christ. There's hope and joy coming that is going to flood the hearts of believers. No matter what I go through, what you go through, there is joy because I have, you have eternal life in Jesus Christ. Eternal life. Wow. Believers will be rejoicing before the Lord forever. What an awesome thing that we're going to be rejoicing before the Lord. We should be rejoicing now before the Lord. The hope and the coming of that Messiah that was given in this promise, the believer's protection, and it's an overflowing of that joyfulness. Do you realize that God will protect you? That God will give you that fullness of joy? He is doing that now as you look to Him. God, I need the protection. Look, put it for me, 2 Timothy, please. The Lord, here, the Apostle Paul. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into His kingdom. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Paul's saying, no matter what I've gone through, Paul had been shipwrecked, stoned, beaten, so many times whipped. He says, hey, the Lord's going to rescue me every time, no matter what. The fullness of joy. You know, we go through this life and there seems to be a lot of things that can stumble us, a lot of things can knock you down, but there is joy in Christ. Without Christ, you don't have the fullness of joy. Look at what John talks about in 15:11 for me, please. Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. The only way you can have fullness of joy is through Jesus Christ. Yeah, you know, all of us know and understand that we get something. It may be you get a new car or you get a nice place to live and you're joyful. It's like a car. It's really great till you make that first payment. Then you're going, well, that stinks. Or you get new furniture, new bed, or you go out for a nice meal. Oh, that was so good. But an hour or two later, you're past. But with Christ, you have that fullness of joy all the time. It is constant. With Christ, there is never ending of that joy. He'll overflow your hearts. If you don't have that joy, ask Him. Help me, Lord. Help me. So what does Isaiah said? He said in verse 4, he says, for the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder and the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day in Midian. What's Isaiah talking about? Well, this hope of being delivered from the yoke of bondage. We're no longer bondage to sin. We've been set free. Yeah, our sinful nature, we still sin. And we've talked over that the last few weeks. We still sin. We come to the Lord, ask for forgiveness, and ask Him to change us. But we've been set free from that. The example given here, though, if you pay attention, it says, you have broken it as on the day of Midian. This is the example of God and Gideon. Gideon. You know, Gideon was, here we're coming, this great army is going to attack. And Gideon's going, man, I only got like 10,000 guys. God said, that's too many. I'm paraphrasing. And he kept going down to where Gideon had 300 guys for thousands and thousands of warriors. And God gave him that victory. The victory, the battle belongs to the Lord. No matter what you're going through, give it to God. He'll do the battling for you. As believers, we have to understand we have victory in Christ. We have victory over death. We have victory over sin. We're not in bondage to them anymore. So I want you to understand, no matter what you go through or what you're going through, God will give you the power to endure it and to overcome it. No matter what you're going through, you may have to go through a lot. And I understand that. I know it. There are times that you may be under attack and it never ends. Folks, there's times where I've actually asked God, Lord, let me have this afternoon off. No attacks. Okay. But understand, things are always going to be there. We're in a troubling times. He will even give us protection. He will give us to endure, even to the point of death. Even to the point of death, we have victory over death in Christ. I think about this. You take the 12 apostles. You had the one that betrayed Christ, so he killed himself. There were 11 apostles, the disciples of Christ. Out of those 11, 10 were martyred. 10 were martyred. But Christ gave him victory. You know, the Apostle Paul, who wrote 13 books of the New Testament, who was whipped, I don't know how many times it's listed, stoned, I don't know how many times, shipwrecked, starved, beaten, you name it. In fact, in the scriptures, he says, to die is to gain, but I need to be here to share that message, basically, is what he's saying. Share that message of hope to people. In that victory over death, and I want us to understand and completely understand, in that victory over death, we will be ushered into the presence of the Lord Himself. So even whatever you go through, that time when you take your last breath, Jesus Christ is going to usher you into His presence before God the Father. Amazing. We have deliverance in Jesus Christ, this great light. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, this is Paul writing to the church in Corinth, of the affliction we have experienced. So Paul's telling you, hey, affliction, really bad. For as we are utterly burdened beyond our strength, that we despaired of life itself. They were hating it, the life. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. They knew they were going to die. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. Christ will do that. You may go through some tough times, and every one of us do. Loss of a loved one, loss of a job, health problems, all this. Christ will walk you through it. He will be there with you. Then the scripture says here, as Isaiah writes it, for every boot of trampling warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. We have the hope of peace in every situation. No matter what happens, we have the peace from God. The hope of the day that there will be, think about this, no more militaries. Do you realize at some point in time, there'll be no more armies and military and bombs and all? It ain't going to be there. The reason is, this is talking about a hope in the future, so we can emphasize with the prophets. It's that hope in the future time. And this is when Christ reigns. It is the millennial reign of Christ. There won't be any military. There won't be any of this. But I want us to reassure, until that time, we have the peace that Christ brings to the hearts of believers. And he does it in all nations. God will give you that peace. Jesus Christ says, I will give you the peace until I come back. Look at John 16:33 for me, please. Jesus said, I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Notice what it says. In the world, we're in the world, you're going to have tribulation. So don't go, woe is me, this is happening to me, why is this happening? Jesus said, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. But if you're in Christ, you have his peace. And he says, but I've overcome the world. You can have my peace. You can have my peace. This is critical for us to understand. Because, man, always something's happening. Always. But now we're going to hit the last verse, or last two verses that I'm looking at here. And I want to remind you again, this prophecy was given right around 700 years before Jesus came. That's a long time. The hope of the promised Messiah. It says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Now, we have to understand that first, the Messiah would come first as a God-man. What is being prophesied is this child will be human and full deity. Full deity. It says a child is born. This is referring to humanity. The child's going to be born. That's human nature. But it says a son is given. This is referring to the deity of this child. God himself will send his child into the world, his son. So the son will be fully God, and he will be fully human. Son refers us back to Isaiah 7:14, when it says he overshadows. When it says Emmanuel, God with us. This can be a little hard for the human mind to understand. A man that is fully human, fully God. But it's only supernatural that God did this. Jesus did come. and he fulfilled this prophecy. Understand, Jesus Christ never sinned. He never sinned. So he could go to the cross and die for your sins, and God counts your faith in him as righteous. Well, that's amazing. Because I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sin, God says, Greg, I count your faith as righteous. You now have access to me. It says the government's going to be on his shoulder. Well, his birth on this earth is the very foundation of all hope. All hope, his foundation is on Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will rule the world. It's coming soon. So we can sympathize with the prophets of the coming happening. He will rule in perfect righteousness. Perfect righteousness. Now, you know, we got probably in this country the best ruling party, but we can see it and it's flawed. It's flawed because it's sinful man. But not with him. And when it says perfect righteousness for you Bible students, I'll just refer you to Micah 5:2 and Zechariah 14:9 if you want to look those up on your own. Zechariah 14:9 and Micah 5:2. Think about that. Ruling in perfect righteousness. No military, everything. But here's where it starts to get interesting, folks. Isaiah says, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So let's look at it. The first thing is, he says, his name will be called Wonderful Counselor. We have far better understanding now than before during Isaiah's time, because Christ has came. That's why I say we're blessed. When we think about it, the things that Christ went through when he suffered, Christ didn't have a home. Christ didn't even have a bed to lay in. He was born in a barn. Christ didn't have a car. Christ didn't have all that stuff. Christ was whipped 39 times with a cat of nine tails on his way to the cross. Christ was nailed to that cross. He suffered. He is the perfect counselor for you, for me. He knows what we're going through. He endured everything, pain, hunger, homelessness, physical beatings. He knows what it's like to be rejected. Have you ever been rejected? Yeah, it's not much fun, is it? He knows what it is. All his disciples walked away from him when he went to the cross. All those people that followed him, the 5,000, the 4,000, all those walked away from him. They rejected him. His own priest of the Jewish rejected him. He knows what it's like. He knows what you're going through. And he can truly, truly help you in your time of need. He is the only one that can truly help you. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus is our wonderful counselor. And Isaiah talks about this. Put it for me, Isaiah 41:10, please. You don't have that? I'm sorry. Let me read that then. 41:10. Here we go. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God is telling us, hey, fear not. I'm going to hold you up. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to protect you. The second term that he is called is Mighty God. The Messiah is divine. We can go back to verse 6 where he said, a child is given. Divine. Fully God. And we think about as God, he will do all things that nobody else could possibly even think about doing. The feeding of the 5,000 with a couple of pieces of bread and fish. And that's 5,000 men plus women and children. When he fed 4,000, when he raised the dead, when he gave sight to the blind, when he gave hearing to the hearing that didn't have any hearing, when he would touch and heal. These were all signs given and nobody was understanding. He has the power to deliver man from any trial or any tribulation you go through. The Messiah is fully God. And that's where the difference is between Christianity and all other religions. That's the difference. Who Jesus is. And I want to show you here what the disciple, the apostle John, put up. Put up John 1. In the beginning was the Word. Scripture says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, the Father, the Son. All things were made through him. It says in Scripture, God created everything. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, Jesus Christ. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from Father, full of grace and truth. He is fully God. That is the difference. Which it had to be all the way from the virgin birth to going to the cross. Had to be. Then the Scripture says something that you always be called, and this is understandingly here, is that it says everlasting Father. Well, the emphasis of what is written here, the everlasting Father, is that the Messiah would love his people as a father loves his children. Now, I don't know everybody's father. I don't know if you had a good, bad, whatever. I had a great father. But I know my earthly father died years ago. My heavenly father is with me all the time. My earthly father was not. He was, you know, as you know, we can't be with somebody constant. But God loves you. He loves you so much he gave up his son for you. Jesus will nurture and care for you. He will protect you. He is going to give you comfort. He has a very deep and loving concern for you. This is a personal relationship between you and God. You do not need to go through me to talk to God. You can talk to him straight. Wherever, whenever, 24/7, you can talk to God. And that blows my mind in the fact that God, who created this universe, created this earth, created all these things, wants to talk to me, wants to have a relationship with you. But then it does say he will be called the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. He is the Savior of the world. He is the one who can bring true and everlasting peace to the human heart. Remember the scripture where it says, peace I give you. You're going to have tribulation, but it's okay. Peace, Prince here indicates the word Messiah. And the blessing, he will govern in peace. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when him governing and everything is done in peace? Amazing. Everything will be accomplished in peace. This will start in a millennial reign. When Christ comes back. Can you even imagine what it's going to be like that everything that is done in pure peace? There's no jealousy, no envy, none of that. I don't think there's a human out here right now that could even comprehend that. Because everything is always done, you know, and we're just as guilty as anybody else. I look forward to it. And most importantly, because of the Messiah, because of Jesus Christ, we have peace with God the Father. When we ask Jesus Christ to come into our life, we have peace with our Father. We have access to our Heavenly Father. Whoa. That alone is amazing. But as the prophet here, Isaiah, there's also the prophecy of hope for us. It says, of the increase of his government and of peace, there's going to be no end. That's eternity. I've tried to figure that out. How long is eternity? You know, people are now living to be over 100. And I think, well, if I blink once, does that count like 100 years? And we blink how many times in a day? I don't know. Eternity's forever. We don't have to worry about that. On the throne of David over his kingdom, he'll establish it, uphold it with justice and righteousness, this time forth and evermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. So God's going to do this. He's going to return. Jesus said, I'm going to return. And think about this. This prophecy was given 700 years before he came the first time. We're over 2,000 years now. World's getting pretty ugly out there. Jesus will reign forever. He will sit on the throne of David. There will be perfect justice and righteousness. Perfect. Not the imperfect we see now. This is a guarantee. This is the promise of the Lord, because the Lord said, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. You can take it to the bank. It's going to happen. I want to assure you that nothing can prevent this from happening. Christ coming back, Christ setting up his kingdom. You know, folks, and scripture says that we are co-heirs with Christ. It says this in Corinthians. We are co-heirs with Christ as believers, which I can't even comprehend that. Everything Christ gets, we get. Folks, you are very, very blessed. And I don't even think any of us realize how blessed we are because of Jesus Christ. This is the blessed hope we have. This is the hope of this prophecy. Jesus Christ is that promised child of redemption. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. He's it. He's it. And folks, we can rest in that. As we celebrate this time, and I know there's a lot of things going on out there, the commercialization of it and all that, just praise God. He gave Jesus Christ his son. You're going to have people saying, well, is it the exact date? Who cares? He came. He came. And he died for each one of us. And if you or me were the only person on earth, he would have still came and died for us. Just so we can spend eternity with him forever. Our blessed hope. We will be with Christ forever, all eternity. We have that great joy now. We have that peace now. And we have his protection, his comfort, and his love. It is an everlasting, steadfast love in Jesus Christ. Let's close in prayer. Father God, I want to thank you and praise you for this time we've had, Lord, to look at your word. Lord God, we are so blessed. So blessed. Lord, I ask that you would help each one of us. Help us, Lord. You know, Lord, there's all of us have problems we incur. All of us have doubts about things or not sure of everything. But Lord, reaffirm in our hearts your love for us, your grace for us, your peace for us. Draw us closer to you, Lord. And Lord, whatever's keeping us from coming even closer, Lord, remove it. Allow us to worship and praise you each and every day, glorifying your name in everything we do and say. Heal us, Lord. Lord, overflow our hearts with your love. And I praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If the worship team would come forward, please.